KXNO. Now, today's biggest stories from the BMW of Des Moines Sports Desk. This is an X's and O's update on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
And I'm Trent Condon. Football recruiting continues to stay hot in state. Iowa State football with four commitments over the last couple of days, including Ohio offensive lineman Sam Renger. The three-star, 6'5", 285-pound Renger commits to ISU after taking visits the last couple of weeks to West Virginia and Iowa State. The Ohio native also had offers from Purdue, Cincinnati, Rutgers, and Virginia during the recruiting process. The Hawkeyes picked up two more commits yesterday. Defensive back Reginald Bracey from Mobile, Alabama, along with three-star defensive end Aaron Witt from Winona, Minnesota. Witt was previously committed to Minnesota and picked the Hawkeyes over offers from Iowa State, Minnesota, and Oregon State. In the Women's World Cup, it was a testy one for Team USA in the knockout round against Spain, but in the 76th minute, a penalty kick.
Rapino will strike!
A 2-1 win on the call from FS1. The U.S. moves on to the quarterfinals on Friday against the host, France. To baseball from yesterday, the Cubs knock off the Braves 8-3. Wilson Contreras, a heated home run.
Contreras to right. Marquez watches it go. A basket shot. Number 16 for Contreras.
Flowers Contreras now having some words here at home plate. Yeah.
The call from NBC Sports Chicago. Game 2 tonight, 7:05 from Wrigley Field. Edbert Elzele will make his first Major League start tonight for Chicago. In Yankee Stadium, the Yanks keep slugging home runs.
Drill deep to right field. High enough. Yes, see ya. Home run Yanks. 3-2 Yankees.
The call from the YES Network. The Yankees have homered now in 27 straight games to match an MLB record. Stay up to date at 1460KXNO.com and all day on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460KXNO.
Live from the Wild Rose Casino and Resort Jefferson Studios, you'd rather be here. This is 1460KXNO. Hawkeyes, Cyclones, Panthers, and Bulldogs. Yeah, we got that covered. This is Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
Hour number two on a Tuesday. Ross Peterson across from me today. Trent Condon on Miller and Condon, KXNO. Ken in Vegas for two more days. He'll be back, I think, late Wednesday afternoon doing his work on that side of things with the horse racing. Ross, are you a horse racing fan?
No, and Emery has brought me along a long way. Yes. Ken used to try, but Ken...
It was too early in life.
Ken focused his efforts more on hockey with me.
Okay,
because
right.
I was just starting to get into the Wild and trying to learn hockey, which I'd never been around. So Ken was nice enough to sit with me for a few hours every day, and I'd just annoy him. And he would just kind of bring me up to date on why things happened and why I saw what I was seeing. Horse racing, I'd never had any interest in, and so I think he kind of avoided that. Emery's got a way of talking to idiots. Emery has a way of kind of dumbing things down. Ken, the knowledge gap between myself and Ken was so vast. Mm-hmm. Ken has zero interest in turning that machine around and trying to bring somebody up. Just not him. Emery is in that gray area in between us, and he really kind of is good at grabbing me and saying, here's why things are happening. Here's what happened.
That's what he did with me last week. He was in on Thursday, and there was some horse racing event happening in England. And instead of a one-day Kentucky Derby or Preakness type event, it was 5 days at this old track. Because he came in, and he said, hey, can you flip on NBC Sports Network? I don't even know what channel it is. I said, I don't either here in the studio. But I went in here to our master TV control list, and I found it. And it was a bunch of weirdos wearing top hats, along with, of course, what we see with the ladies and the funky hats for the Kentucky Derby. Same thing over there at some old place, and same thing. Yeah, he kind of talked me through it and dumbed it down enough that I could understand. Now, I know how to make a bet on it. I know how to lose money doing it, but I actually don't know the intricacies of the sport.
I'm one of these guys, like, and John Hernandez and I love John.
Yeah.
Another guy that is really good at talking you through your ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
John and I have had these sorts of conversations a lot over the years about why they do things the way they do it.
Sure.
But I'm not a guy that the hats thing is really weird to me.
Yeah.
I don't mean like, oh, I get it weird. No, I don't get it. I don't understand how or why anybody would spend a lot of money on a big hat because you're supposed to.
Huh.
It doesn't do it. It doesn't. I can't wrap my head around it. Well, so anyway.
Something we're going to try to wrap our mind around here this hour is the continued debate at the high school sports level. Ross, we've talked about our past experiences. I think most everybody that listens to KXNO knows you're an East guy. Anybody that's heard me now the last 6 months knows I'm an Osage guy. Proud of where I came from, where I grew up. I know it's the same for you.
Yep.
And I'm still deep into the high school sports. I think that that sense of community is important for everybody. The athletes that we get to see, that experience and seeing championships won and these guys moving on and playing at Iowa or Iowa State, you and I, Drake, whatever it may be, playing in the old Iowa Conference. I love to see the development of these young men and ladies as they make their way through and become college-age student-athletes. But with that, the gap has continued throughout the years, and it's got to, I don't know, would we want to say an epidemic type of level? Yeah. 10 years, a city school, one of the city metro schools, has not beaten a suburban school in football for 10 years. Not one upset. Not one. Every bounce went their way.
And it's not lack of effort. It's not lack of trying. We're talking about 90 games.
It is the haves and the have-nots. Yeah. And it comes down to a factor for a lot of people that isn't part of the way that we divvy up the teams. And for as long as there's been classes in sports and high school athletics, it has been depending on your enrollment. Well, there are other factors than just the amount of kids that go to your school. And that is something that started about a month ago with Dan Sabers, who is the head coach at Iowa City City High, a school district itself that demographically has changed from what it was when Coach Sabers started there 30 years ago. Their demographics have shifted. Mm-hmm. And it has to do with the background of families. Des Moines Public Schools as a whole is 75% free and reduced lunch. That means 75% of the students there get free or reduced lunch because of the incomes that their family makes. My wife teaches on the south side. Her school, which was once about 50%, is now over 92% of the population free and reduced. We are talking, this is not about want. This is not about kids not trying hard enough or putting in practice time or those types of things. It is the difference starting at the youth level, moving away up, opportunities for these youngsters to have an opportunity to build, to grow, and to become these teams by the time they get to the high school level. It's more than just, all right, you got 800 kids in a class, you're going to be in this class. There's so much more that goes into this, Ross.
Dude, it's such a big conversation, Trent. We tried to start this a little bit yesterday, and I'm going to continue it tonight, I think, with Mark Hanrahan. This youth sports conversation is really where this is going to boil down to, but first, we're talking about the high school thing, mm-hmm, and how to try to figure this talent disparity out.
Yeah.
There's always two conversations. It's the world we want to live in and the world we live in. Mm-hmm. The world that I want to live in, we have zero connection between academics and athletics. There is no elementary school basketball league. There's kids in elementary school that play basketball.
Yeah.
But they don't. You're not attached to, you know, Carver Elementary on a basketball team.
Sure.
Why do we do this at the high school level? Why are high school sports important? Because I think we should sever that connection completely between athletics and academics. I understand there's an advantage. I understand there's pride. There's all these things that come with it. But I think in the world that we that I want to live in, the way it should be, there shouldn't even be that connection. There shouldn't be a Dowling sports team and an East High sports team. They could be academic quiz bowl teams. They could be debate teams attached to those schools. But we're never going to get to that world.
No,
ever.
No. So always live in reality.
Let's talk about the world that we live in, yes, and how to try to fix this. And there's no way to take these inner city schools and drastically change the socioeconomic status of that. And I've had people, when we've had these conversations, reach out and they're like, dude, what does that mean? What's the general social status and economic status of your community? That's kind of what socioeconomics is. It's not just about how much money everybody in your neighborhood makes, how much the homes are worth. That's a part of it. How much you make at your job, what your average income is. Those are parts of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a bigger picture look at what's happening in your community.
And social issues also that come up.
Absolutely right.
Divorce rates, single parents, those types of things. This is all, and now we're trying to put a finite number on this, which is going to be difficult in its own right.
Yep.
And figuring that out. But that's what we're talking about when we bring up socioeconomic.
So I think the idea of incorporating the free and reduced lunch number into mm-hmm. that's a start. It's a great place to kind of get into this because it's a really hard thing to figure out.
And it's something you can quantify.
That's it. There's an actual number there to say, here's what the percentage of kids that are living at this line that we've drawn.
There's no looping things around. There's not.
And I don't know if I'll go that far. There is some political debate to be done about how these numbers are calculated,
sure.
what the incentives are for schools mm-hmm. to calculate these numbers the way they do. So that's, a different part of it. But world we're living in.
Yes.
This is the number that we have. I don't know what the right answer is for this. Chris Cuellar is going to be on Fanatics with me, I think, sometime next week.
Nice.
And we're going, because the Iowa High School Athletic Association, they're not even having this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But the Des Moines School Board wants to have this conversation.
That's right. It's a conversation that needs to be had. Will this do anything? Will this change? I've had people say, well, what would the structure look like? Would it be... I think at the level we're talking about most, and that's 4A sports. I mean, that's what I cover the most. It's the CIML, I mean, of a population. I don't got people from small towns all over, but just starting strictly there, you would have football classes of 24 teams. You'd have a 4A and maybe a 4B, and that is divvied up. You'd have your suburban schools here. You'd have your Bettendorfs and your Cedar Falls and your Iowa City West and your New North Liberty, Iowa City, what do they call it? Liberty, Iowa City Liberty. Yeah. Those schools, Lynn Mar would be a part of that. And then you would have another division, call it 4B, of Des Moines Public Schools, of Waterloo East and West, Sioux City Schools.
Tumwa.
Those would be the schools then that would fall into that. And, you know, there'd be some fluctuation. There'd be some changing. And there's always that flexibility there. And they would still play for a state championship. We might get Sioux City East against Tumwa for a state championship at the 4B level. Or... they move it down to their 3A, and it's 4A, and then we got a bunch of classes. Or it's 8A, and we bump it down that way.
And I think that's probably the way to go is you just call it 5A.
Yeah.
And take those top-tier teams and move them up.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you are talking about 12, 14, 16-team leagues now.
Right.
Not conferences. You might have 16 teams in a class.
Mm-hmm.
In the state of Iowa.
More than likely in 4A, it'd be 24.
And
it'd be 24 of each because there's 48.
And to be honest, Trent, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I would be, if it means restructuring the playoffs,
mm-hmm.
and so only four teams or eight teams get into the playoffs in each class, I'm okay with that.
Make it work. And that doesn't mean that Lincoln's never going to play Dowling again. I know they've had a long-time rivalry with those two. You can still play in the regular season.
Absolutely.
Cedar Rapids Xavier plays 3A in pretty much everything. But they play in their big conference,
yep.
and they play 4A schools all throughout the year.
Every one of those schools is going to want to play
yes.
Valley and Dowling. Maybe not every year, but mm-hmm. every other year.
Mm-hmm.
And you certainly won't want to be the team that wins the 4B state title and never tested your medal against yes. a Dowling or a Valley.
And you went 14-0, but you never got a shot.
You're going to know.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to know. You're
yes.
going to look around and go, well, yeah, but we didn't even cross the river and strap them on against those guys.
Imagine the pride that would be involved if the state championship for a Des Moines public school. You know, just
playoffs, Trent. Getting to the playoffs
yes.
for these schools is a huge
and
deal.
And a chance to actually win a game. Not get there and be cannon fodder for Dowling or Valley or Southeast Polk. No, not that. To actually go there and have a chance to win games, and make it to the Unidome. The kids in the Des Moines public school system, not one has a realistic chance right now in the current structure of playing a football game in the Unidome. Not one.
There's exactly what I was just going to say. Rico Gafford.
Yeah,
that's
how you do it.
And I'm always trying to be careful here because I know the perception is because I'm an Eastsider. If I bring up Dowling or a kid, Rico's a great example, a kid mm-hmm. that left East and went to Dowling, that I'm somehow against that decision. Way to go, kid.
Yes.
Way to go. You went.
Look, he's in the NFL
he's
now.
He's in the NFL. Yes. You're right. Yes. You made the right decision.
Yeah.
And I knew at that time, you're going to Dowling where, so at East High, you can be a superstar.
Yep.
And you're going to get a couple of college eyes that come and look at you. And hopefully you impress in front of those college eyes on the right day when they're watching you. If you go to Dowling, there's multiple college eyes on you every opportunity you go out there. So you've got a much better shot. You're throwing a lot more darts at the board because you've always got these eyes on you, different levels of eyes that show up and go, man, that kid's got something that could help my team at the next level.
Got a tweet here from Adam McElderry, and he says also, we talked earlier in the program about soccer, mm-hmm. and we're talking about Premier League and things like that. Talked about that a little bit this week with the World Cup going on. I don't have a team, those types of things, but relegation.
Yes.
And if we do see, let's just say Des Moines Lincoln, for example, just throw them out. They have won three consecutive of this class title. Then you move up promotion and relegation, and then you keep the talent levels very similar. You don't have somebody then that have found the loophole, found the secret sauce, and is dominating that level. They would move up, move down. I think it's a great idea. We're out of time for this segment, though. We're going to talk baseball. You like baseball.
I love baseball.
We're going to talk that. MLB. Zach Reimer is going to join us coming up next from Bleacher Report. We got a lot more layers, though, to peel back of this skin, I think, at the high school level and what possibly could happen here the next couple of years. Des Moines Public School, up on their website is where you can find the full release and a lot of information on that. Quick timeout, back with more on the other side as we continue. Ross in for Ken today. It's Miller and Condon on
Quotation Supply.
It's 24-hour sports, morning, noon, and night, here on 1460 KXNO.
Coasting through hour number two, Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO. Ross Peterson in for Ken today. Emery Songer, he'll be back tomorrow, and then Ken back from vacation slash work. He'll be back with us on Thursday. Ross, you're a Yankees fan as we change our conversation to a little baseball. How?
Just this year. Just became a Yankees fan these last 26 games or so. It's been fun.
How
been fun run.
Did it happen? How did you? Was it just they
no.
were good?
No, being a kid in Des Moines.
When we were growing up, they weren't good.
No, they were. I mean, I wouldn't say necessarily basement dweller.
No.
But the Orioles, the Blue Jays dominated that division. And that's why I also don't really have that hate for the Red Sox because they weren't the team that pushed me around. Mm-hmm. I was a Don Mattingly fan. He was the when I was
baseball.
What 6-7 years old. He's rookie of the year. Guy's hitting 350. I grew up in a baseball family. Mm-hmm. Every story seemed to be about a Yankee. So even in a house full of Cub fans and going down to Principal Park or Sec Taylor Stadium to watch the Iowa Cubs every night, I gravitated towards the Yankees, and I accepted it. I wore a Yankees hat all through high school, and then the year I graduated was the year they won the World Series for the first time in my lifetime.
That's a pretty good breakthrough.
It was a nice breakthrough, and then, of course, they had the little run, and mm-hmm. I was considered a front runner and all those horrible
but
things
helped,
that Yankee fans
it
are considered.
It helped solidify kind of that fandom when it happens still right. You know, during that period of your life. Zach Reimer, he joins us right now from Bleacher Report. Zach, who was your team growing up? What got you into baseball now? I know as a lead reporter at MLB for Bleacher Report, you don't have a rooting interest anymore, but what was the team that you grew up with?
Well, I spent my childhood in Massachusetts, so put two and two together, probably a pretty obvious answer.
I got you, yeah.
And you wonder how a kid in Iowa becomes a Yankee fan, right, Zach, or can you accept my story there?
I'm surprised you weren't a Braves fan, actually, given that everybody outside of Atlanta seemingly was at some point or another in the last couple decades.
We have a lot in our demographic. Yep, a lot of people of our age range are certainly that case. Cubs nationally have that because of WGN. Now, they didn't have the success for our era of people that certainly the Braves did during that time. And I'm a Twins fan, 1987. As a 7-year-old, solidified at my first major league game at the Metrodome and then a World Series. It just, that's the way that it happens. Fandom, especially at the professional level, winning has a whole lot to do with it. Well, speaking of those Yankees, they're doing a whole lot of winning and swatting home runs at a historic pace. 27 straight games now with home runs. Zach, if you can, give us some context here. It's kind of one of those goofy baseball numbers in the grand scheme of things. It doesn't mean a whole lot, but your takeaway as they go tonight to try to break the MLB record, consecutive games with a home run.
You know, I think you're right. In the grand context of things, like, it's an interesting tidbit now, but we're going to put it after it ends in, like, a week. Yeah. But right now, it's ultimately reflective of what this team is, even amid all the injuries they've suffered this year. I mean, it is a team that is built to hit the ball out of the ballpark. Did it, obviously, at a record pace last year. So even when you take away guys like a Giancarlo Stanton or an Aaron Judge for extended amount of time, you still have quite a bit of home run power left on that team. Now you see those guys are getting healthy. Didi Gregorius also just came back. It seems like the home runs would, you know, flying out right now is kind of like the logical end point of where the Yankees were headed this season. So here they are.
So they can hit the ball, Zach, and they've certainly got the lineup to make a playoff run. As a Yankees fan, I do worry about this pitching. This doesn't look like a rotation or even maybe a bullpen that is designed to make that deep playoff run and win a World Series. Am I missing something?
I would deviate a little bit from that opinion on the bullpen, because Chapman's been really good. Ottavino's been really good. Tommy Canley has a really high strikeout rate. He's generally been good. Zach Britton's still getting ground balls. It's much more than just a functional bullpen, especially given how many bullpens have struggled outside of New York this year. It's actually one of the better ones going right now. And I still think that as long as those guys get to October healthy, and maybe with Adell and Betances in the mix as well, it's still going to be the kind of bullpen they've had for the last couple of years, which is capable of shortening games where they only need like 5 or 6 innings out of their starters and shutting down opponents in these high, in the high leverage innings. But I would definitely feel comfortable if they did have another dominant starter, especially after Masahiro Tanaka, who's been quietly solid as, you know, nails this season. So I guess that explains the rumblings about them searching for starters on the trade market.
Makes a lot of sense, and trying to build up that rotation. Playoff baseball, we saw what they did to the Astros, saw just the back and forth that can happen there. The way baseball is built, you can build a great regular season team, but how different in your mind when you get to the postseason, the number of relievers that you have, how much you're expecting or anticipating out of your starter, how much of a different game is it when we get to October and playoff time?
It's so different that it's almost like a different game entirely. How it's not, it almost feels like they're not even playing one game at a time. It really does feel like they're taking it literally one matchup at a time. Now when we get to October, the game slows down. I mean, starters can exit after, you know, a bad inning, because there's just the risk aversion is that high in October. You know, whether or not this is a good thing or a bad thing, it bothers me how much it slows the game down, and how it just seems like every choice that managers have to make is so deliberate and so calculated that it's just like, it feels like they're no longer playing baseball. It feels more like an actual chess match being played in real time. I don't know if there's a solution for it or if this is just where the game is at right now. So the only thing I can say is, hey, when we get to around October, prepare for things to get a little weird.
Zach, I'm not sure if you've followed this story from the New York Post regarding the Mets and their front office making apparently in-game moves from the front office. The Mets recently have seemed like baseball's version of the Lakers or something. They can't get out of their own way. What's happening with the Mets?
Well, either baseball's version of the Lakers or baseball's version of the Mets.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is, it's almost like somebody is writing this as like a bad kind of like goofball comedy, how they've been run this year. And for much of the last, I don't know, decade, even going back further than that, I mean, I just shrug my shoulders and like, you know, this seems to be a pattern here. No matter who's the manager, no matter who's the general manager, there's just this constant kind of boobery going on with the Mets. And it really kind of, you kind of point your eyes to the top of the organization. Well, I mean, the Wilpons are running the show here. And if these are the way things are working under their ownership, I mean, maybe they're the problem. Or maybe not even maybe. Maybe they're definitely the problem.
Just a couple minutes left with Zach Reimer joining us from Bleacher Report. Zach, to the Cubs, the biggest team in our market here, AAA affiliate with the Des Moines and over at Principal Park. Your thoughts on this team? Last night, Wilson Contreras in the middle of it, and he just seems to be a guy that likes to likes to be in the middle. He always has something to say, seemingly each and every game. This Cubs team as a general, your thoughts on Contreras as we go forward at the midpoint of the year?
Contreras is one of these guys. I think he's a very 2019 kind of player where he's good, and he doesn't mind kind of wearing that he's good on his sleeve. It's something that he would not have gotten away with. I mean, even as recently as 5 or even 3 years ago. Now it's kind of like when you see outbursts like Tyler Flowers had last night, it's almost like he's the villain in this situation. So as far as I'm concerned, Wilson Contreras can do his thing. He can do what he does. He's having a great season. He should do whatever he wants. As for the Cubs, I mean, it's been, I don't even know about a tale of two seasons. It's been like a tale of three seasons. Yeah, that really kind of poor start, then that really hot stretch where nobody could beat them, and then it kind of leveled off again. I'm still wondering if in the long run this team is going to rally around this explosive lineup that they have, pretty good starting pitching, and once Craig Kimbrell arrives, maybe a pretty good bullpen. Definitely a pretty strong chance to win the NL Central, although I don't think the Brewers or the Cardinals are going to let them get away with it too easily.
Zach, what are you working on right now over at Bleacher Report? I know your latest to the trade deadline just over a month away, talking about some prospects that might be out there. What's next at Bleacher Report?
Yeah, I had the prospects piece go live today. I'm working on a column about Gary Sanchez for tomorrow.
Ross
Peterson. Be looking for that.
He likes that one. Thanks as always for your time, Zach. We'll talk again soon.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.
Bye, Zach.
Zach Reimer joining us here. Oh, really one of those good young baseball minds. Mm-hmm. I always find him very interesting. And you know, the funny thing is when we have Zach on, his pacing is always a little bit different. And I should have reminded you beforehand, he has an extra beat before he gets going. And I like that at times. That you can tell he's really trying to get something thoughtful. Not just talking there.
He's thinking.
He's thinking.
Murph does that. Have you noticed that?
I have, yeah. Yes.
Murph has, and Williams will do the same thing. He kind of puts these pauses in.
3 seconds. Andrew Downs loves that. We're coming back. We're going to put a cap on things as we continue. Taking you up until noon, Miller and Condon, Ross in for Ken on KXNO.
Number one for podcasts.
All right, back with you one final time as we continue. Miller and Condon got PD in with me today, Ross Peterson. Ross, it's been fun. Thanks for joining us today.
I am glad you asked me to come in and do this, Trent. And I love that you've picked up on Ken calling me Petey.
Yeah.
And gone with that as a nickname. Because people ask me all the time if I have a nickname, and I have like 1,000. I have Ross, Roscoe, Pete, Petey. There's a lot of variations of those things.
Rossi? Right?
Sure, yeah. I had a cousin named Heath, and we called him Heifer, and so he thought that was horrible, so he would call everybody, like, Rossi, and that stuck with me for a little while.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I've had a lot of them. None of them offensive. Didn't have any of them that I hated.
My daughter is at day camp over in West Des Moines this week, as my wife has to, though she's a teacher, she has to do a lot of other things, so we couldn't find daycare for the week, so I put her in camp, get over there, and her first day yesterday, crying as I left.
Yeah.
Today, ran right off of
her. Yeah, of course, yes.
See you, Dad. Get out of here.
Yeah, right.
Perfect.
That's the way it should be, right? It means
but,
having fun.
But she had mentioned a few different times throughout the morning, even though I made her a big breakfast yesterday morning, and she was hungry, to the camp counselors, and again, and again, and again. Her nickname, when she shows up this morning, Hungry.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Hungry.
I was thinking maybe Snacks.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a buddy who calls his son Snacks, because he... Snacks all the time.
All the time, yeah.
He's a skinny little kid. Yeah. He doesn't gain weight. But anyway, yeah. Nicknames are funny. Do you have any? Trent? Trent doesn't...
TC.
Yeah, TC's it.
TJ, my middle name's Joseph, so that was there for a while.
I don't tell anybody this, but my middle name's Arthur.
Arthur. Ross Arthur Peterson.
Rap.
Oh, nice.
Right, I love video games.
Yeah, but in arcade, yes.
Oh, man, yeah.
But my biggest one, and one that stuck and still sticks to this day, it was Trenterbug.
Trenter Bug.
That's what my grandpa called me, Trenter Bug.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Those things have a way, like the family nicknames that have, you know, the peanut, pickles, things like that. They have a way of hanging around, too.
And right? I made the mistake of third, fourth grade. We're going around first day of school, and our teacher asked, do you have any nicknames? Now it was more for the Michaels, is it Mike?
Yep.
For the Jonathans, is it John?
Yeah.
Gets to me. Oh, yeah, you can call me Trenter Bug.
Trenter Bug.
Yeah, that
I
one.
I like that, though.
Didn't stay with the teacher, but still friends from my class, still yeah. many people from Osage, they'll call me Bug.
But they'll know that's a term of endearment.
Yes, yeah, yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, nothing, no negative connotations, but yeah. I don't know, man, maybe people will pick up with it here. Yeah, that'll be...
The nickname thing was never something I found offensive, but I never had a bad one, like I said. Like, you know, if the people would have called me Goofy or something like that, I'd been like, huh, what if they're trying to tell me something?
Yeah, I don't think she enjoyed being called hungry.
Like, oh, Stinky Pete, don't invite Stinky Pete to the pool party.
Like, don't like that.
I wonder why my friends call me Stinky Pete.
Half of the shower.
Yeah, right.
See if it changes anytime soon. Well, all right. Yesterday afternoon, we had Women's World Cup. They hold on. No day baseball today, Tuesday. That means everything is in the evening. So I know you got all-star action tonight with the little man.
Yeah, this is last night, big win for the Raccoon Valley Little League 9U All-Stars. That's a long name to rattle off.
That is.
Yeah, and a one-run win over Indianola.
Nice.
Really fun game to be at. So tonight, it's Grandview.
Oh, that's a step up.
Good luck to the boys.
Yes. At least in normal seasons, that's a big step up. I called Grandview last year in the Little League Iowa Championship against a team from Sioux City.
Right. I have almost a literal PTSD from playing against Grandview as an 11 and 12-year-old. And the most obnoxious human beings I'd ever met in my life were the Rourke family. Scott's now my best friend, and his mom is my son's godmother.
Okay.
But at the time, I despised these people.
Ah.
Because Scott was really good at baseball, and he let you know it.
Oh, okay.
And when you showed up to play Grandview, the moms were carrying cowbells, and all the kids had their own walk-up music.
Wow.
They had, like, tape players.
And that was a big deal in the 90s.
In 1990?
Yeah.
That was unheard of.
Yes. Yeah.
You hated these people.
Right.
And then I got to know them and fell in love with them, and they're some of the most wonderful people on God's planet. But at the time...
Well, of course.
So now, you know, I'm taking my 9-year-old over there tonight, and I'm like, oh, I remember. And, of course, part of that story is... Because I was telling some of the people, I was like, they could see it on my face. Like, you look like you're about to get sick. I said, it didn't go well. Didn't go well over there. Like, oh, you lost the game. I sold more than that.
Lost the pride.
Lost a lot. Yeah, they got a way of doing that. What Grandview does is amazing. They are it's a fantastic organization to do that year over year. Trent, we had Jim Byers was in with me yesterday, a guy from Pleasant Hill Little League, and we were talking a lot more about that sportsmanship side of Little League. Because there's a right way and a wrong way from the top down to do this in leagues. And there's also a way to do that with talent. Like, there's a sportsmanship hierarchy, there's a talent hierarchy, and Grandview has nailed for decades now. They have nailed getting the right guys in the right place to teach these kids the right skills from a very young age.
Right.
And that's really hard. I'm a guy that when I'm around a little league, I'm good with the kids that are like 5, 6, 7, okay? Because I'm a way to go, good job, everybody, let's have fun. You've got to have somebody that can turn that switch.
Right.
And at about 7, 8, 9, and with each kid it's different. With some kids it's 11, 12, 13. You see it in the kid.
Some it's 4 or 5.
It is, right. You know that.
Yeah.
You see it in their eyes. You see it in the way they attack the ball. You see it in the way they swing the bat. And you go, okay, this is where you are now. Let's put you here and try to teach you these skills. I don't have that ability. I mean, you know, I played JV baseball at East High School. I think my JV coach didn't even play baseball. Okay?
Yeah.
I didn't get great instruction. Like, I can't teach my son fantastic things about where his arm should be in the throwing process. I don't know.
How to get that reverse spin rate.
Exactly. I don't even know what that is. And I've played baseball my whole life. I don't know what you're talking about. I told Casey Blake this a long time ago, a couple years ago. I had a chance to meet Casey and sit down with him, and I love that guy. And everybody that meets him says the same thing about Casey. I told him at the time, what you and Pete and the Blake family should be doing is bringing in all of the coaches, all of the Little League presidents and Little League coaches for $100 a day. Come down to our camp here, and we're going to teach you the skills that you should be teaching your kids.
Yeah. Because it gets lost.
It does. It absolutely.
Yeah.
And we don't, I can't, I can't impart any of that wisdom to my kids. A lot of the dads around me can't. Now, I'm lucky that I've surrounded myself with some dads that have great connections and have great abilities. Mm-hmm. And I'm smart enough to step back and say, I'm done.
Yeah.
I can't. My rah-rah, hooray, everybody's a winner is not helping my kid anymore.
Sure.
And in a way, when we get done and I'm still there to go, hey, good job, buddy. I see that confidence build in him, but you got to have somebody that can kind of turn that switch. Grandview has done a brilliant job. I don't know how. I really don't, because even being a part of Little Leagues for years, catching lightning in a bottle happens.
Mm-hmm.
Pleasant Hill Little League had Malik Ziegler,
yes.
a Twins kid.
Yep.
I watched that kid play baseball when he was 8, 9 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You catch that lightning in a bottle. And by the way, speaking of lightning in a bottle, Carlos James was a coach mm-hmm. over there at the time, a guy that's got all of that next level wisdom he can impart. So you had this perfect mixture of really talented kid, really talented coach, a league that let them blossom, and boom, it all happens for him. Grandview, to be able to do it year after year after year, it's just incredible. Urbandale was like that for a long time.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think still, you know, things have changed in the socioeconomic status of their league boundaries.
Sure.
But that league still does a dynamic job of turning out really good teams all the time.
Johnston's there. And it's funny what the level that I see him at the high school level. And you see that come to fruition. And that team you talked about at East was Ziegler and that great group that came through.
Carmichael.
Enox.
A good bunch of great kids.
That grew up together.
Yeah, right.
Played together and played the game the right way. And they were awesome to watch. Johnston, that youth program all the way up to the high school level. And there's a reason pretty much on a yearly basis now that Johnston is number one. Saw Peyton Williams last night. He is a stud. He's on his way to the University of Iowa. They got three kids committed to play baseball at Iowa on that squad. They're really good, really talented. They're not afraid to play young kids. That's something that happened. Urbandale winning the state championship last year, a group that grew up together. So you see it come to fruition at the level that I see them at, which is a lot of fun, too. Baseball's great.
The one you're going to see, Southeast Polk has been left out of this conversation, and I'm not sure why, because they have dominated a youth program. They mm-hmm. built a youth program a couple years ago and said, we're going to start teaching these kids that have that fire, that want this from a very early age. Chris Cuellar is going to come in with me, I think, next week, maybe even this week, and we're going to talk about the reclassification thing that's happening.
Yes.
Chris, of course, with the Iowa High School Athletic Association. This is the athletic disparity that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's because of youth sports.
Yeah.
These kids are at the suburban schools, are able to, for whatever reason, for financial reasons, because of mom and dad, because the system is in their backyard, it's being promoted at their local elementary school.
Absolutely.
They're getting advantages mm-hmm. that the city schools just don't have right now. And I'm not sure it really could ever build in any similar fashion. So it's a big conversation, man.
It is. It's an apples and oranges conversation, a lot of different ways. We talked about a little bit earlier today. So it's, I think, a conversation that is going to certainly generate a lot of discussion this summer, and that's what needs to happen. I think it needs to happen at the kind of grassroots level and all the way up, because, yes, you can say, well, isn't it just supposed to be a learning opportunity? It is. But if you ever played football and you're getting your head beat in and game out, you really want to stay out for that? Is it worth it to go 0-9, to go 1-8, and go out and get beat by Valley 56-0, Dowling throttles you? I mean, it's 70-0 at half. Is that fun? Is that really learning anything there? What are you learning in that game?
You wonder why you look up on the stands on Friday nights, and it's, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, we've all seen
Civic
it with
pride.
We've all seen it with Hoover and mm-hmm. North. I think Lincoln, Roosevelt, and the East have all been through their cycles with it. When the team is losing, and I don't mean having a bad season. I mean 5 years with a couple of wins. You can look in the stands and find almost parent-to-kid, one-to-one ratio. Yeah. There's nobody at these games because there's just no pride in going there to watch your team get throttled.
And the people want to have that pride.
Yeah, absolutely.
Look at North and the support that they've had in basketball the last few years.
Absolutely.
That East baseball team. I remember going out there and it was wall-to-wall, not in the stands because there wasn't that much room in the stands. People standing up and down each side of the foul line watching the baseball game because that was a great East.
That's
team.
When I met you because yes. I used to come and hide in the press box.
Yes, and I took
you
your spot.
Because there was nobody. There was one place I could stand. It was great. Yeah.
So that is important. And then you start to build that back. And, you know, look at Lincoln, how good that football program was yeah. here, what, 10, 12 years ago when they had Jordan Bernstein and that group coming through, Adam Robinson, how good they were. And they were a yearly basis leading up to that. And then it took a step back. And now go out to a Lincoln game on a Friday night and see how many people are there. That number has diminished so much just because you're not winning.
Yeah.
And you don't have a chance to win. And you don't feel confident. You don't feel good about your school and your alma mater and all those different things. So it's an interesting area, no doubt. So, Ross, before we get out of here, you're famously a Yankees fan.
Yes, I am.
So you get home tonight and they're still on. Do you flip it on? Do you have the YES Network? Do you got DirecTV and the MLB pack?
I've cut the cord a long time ago.
Okay.
So I've figured out the streaming options in my life. So
you go to Reddit/MLB streams.
There are ways around the system. Let's just say that, as you well know, my man.
Make sure you got that antivirus up to date, but you can get there.
You can find it.
Yeah.
Really, and right now, I do Hulu Live.
Okay.
And I would say I've had 35, 40
wow.
Yankee games available to
that's
me on
really
that.
Good.
So that would be the first thing I'll try when I get home tonight,
yep.
is just to see if that's there. It will have been recorded. We can start it from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But I am too much of a... like ADD, well, I don't know what the right word is for it. I don't have the attention span to know that the game is in the seventh inning.
Yes.
And I'm watching the first inning.
Yeah.
I can't do it. So I will pull up Twitter and maybe I'll see what the score is. And if it's a blowout game, I'll just, you know, maybe fast forward through and go, man, how'd it get to be 12-5?
You're right. Yeah.
Something like that.
Probably another home run for the Yankees if that's the case.
Probably.
27 in a row. 27 games straight with a homer.
Trent, this is the weird thing. There are legitimately guys on this lineup from, I would say, two or three nights a week. I don't know who these guys are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Gleyber Torres, I've been following for a while because he came up through the Cubs. You got a lot of dudes on here that have names. But some of these guys, I'm like, who are these dudes that
these
are coming
guys have
up?
Come up and produced? And that's a ridiculous thing. And now that they're getting healthy and Judge and Stanton are back, it's scary.
I got fooled with Shane Spencer. Remember
okay,
him?
yes.
Because Shane Spencer looked like He-Man.
And he came in first month, he was great.
Great.
Yeah.
Right, the guy sucked. He didn't suck, but for major league standards, he was not as good as I'd hoped he would be. Is Luke Voit, because I see, I'm caught in this Shane Spencer time warp with him.
Yeah,
I look at this guy and I go, well, of course he's a great baseball player. Look at him, he's blonde-haired, blue-eyed, he's built like a outhouse, you know? Am I getting sold here?
Once the book is out. When I watch him, I kind of look at the body type and I'm like, I'm not sure. You know, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys. I mean, Judge, you're sure. Now he can stay healthy because we don't see many hulking 6'8" guys in baseball.
And you don't see a lot of 6'8" dudes that are able to stay healthy for a very long time.
So that's a scary part of that.
Yeah.
But you got your Yankees. I'll be watching the Twins tonight. Cubs, I am really interested in the Cubs tonight. And that's probably where the most of my attention. I just want to see Alzolay getting his first career start tonight against the Braves. The histrionics from yesterday, the jawing that Wilson Contreras. Boy, he seems to be in the middle of a lot of stuff.
Yeah, man. I'm surprised by this. That's not what I thought Wilson Contreras was. And he obviously, this is who Wilson Contreras is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the stuff about Molina, remember that? Two years ago. And I don't even think he was sliding Molina. I think he was just trying to give himself that little boost.
Yeah.
But you don't say that stuff, right? You don't come out and say, one of the greats in the game right now, yeah, well, I'm better than that guy, you know? I'm a little bit disappointed in that, but at the same time, I think if you're a Cubs fan, this is kind of what you've signed up for. You know, the pajama parties, the hobbies, there's some attitude here.
There is,
and you've signed up for it now.
Mm-hmm.
So
this is your team.
Embrace it. Yeah. I honestly, Trent, of all of what you just said there, even with the Yankee thing, the thing that gives me the tingle is your Twins.
Yeah.
First of all, that division's falling apart around them. It's not a good division anyway, so it looks like they're going to be a playoff team.
Should be, though the Indians have crept back within eight.
Have they really?
And you start to get that...
Worried. History starts to creep
up on you. You know my degenerate nature. I took a look at the division odds, and the Indians are now 10-1, and I'm like, you know, it might be worth a taste, and if the Twins do fall apart, at least I can make a little money on it. kind of betting against my team to set up one positive outcome of it. Yep. You heard of people that do that?
Well, you have a more optimistic approach to gambling. And I think this is why I like talking to you, because you actually, you don't give me that degenerate vibe like Williams does. You know, Williams is like, oh, I'm going to, Louisiana Tech in Lafayette. Like, whatever, dude. No, you are really looking for the, okay, if my Twins fall apart and if they lose an 8-game lead, how can I get some sort of smile on my face? Yeah. I know how. The bank.
Yes. Yes. Good. Build that bankroll.
Trent, you might be able to convince me to throw $5 at something someday.
We'll have some fun. Legalize wagering right around the corner here at our fine state.
Oh, law's never stood in my way.
Well, we can do it right now. We can go set up an account. I can show you how. No. We're not doing that on company time. Not going to be doing that. We're out of here for today. One more day without Ken. He will be back on Thursday for the program and the rest of the week. Ross, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you, Trent. This is a lot of fun, man.
You can hear Ross each and every weekday starting at 4 o'clock with the Sports Fanatics. That'll lead you into Cardinals baseball here tonight on 1460 KXNO.